The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text of our sermon today is Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man travelling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them, and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You're faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there, you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him, and give it to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, one of our day's most glaring faults is a sense of irresponsibility. Employers towards workers, parents toward children, husband toward wife, citizen toward government, rich people toward poor people, and vice versa in all cases. This can creep into the mentality of professing Christians. The church, as an institution, seems adequate to satisfy a few fundamental cravings for religion, but a dimly comprehended gospel message lulls the conscience, and religion becomes for sinners only instead of for sinners only. The Bible's strongest antidote for this poison of irresponsibility is before us in this parable. Parables almost have just one central idea. Here the idea embraces 2 clear ideas. We are responsible to Christ for possessing and for using certain gifts, and we must be ready to give an account of our stewardship. May the Lord bless our meditation. So firstly, we are responsible to Christ. Christ has given us gifts. Our text says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man travelling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. These gifts come to each of us in varying proportions. The fact that one has more and the other less has nothing to do with our duty of responsibility. We all remain equally accountable. The gifts are in varying proportions. Firstly, there are the gifts of the Holy Spirit as listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For example, wisdom, faith, knowledge, and the discerning of spirits, etc. And secondly, there are also the gifts of physical energy, mental abilities, associations and friendships, employment and leisure, money and other property, and opportunities for advancement. In summary, every manner in which The guidance of God influences our life for good, for ourselves, or for others are gifts. But these gifts are from God. They're not assigned in fee simple, but the title remains in the hand of the Lord. We are merely the administrators or stewards. The purposes to which they are put, therefore, are to serve Christ's purposes. The worldly attitude prevalent among people blunts this discernment. But this should not deceive us. We ourselves and our possessions are the property of God. We read in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 14, "For all things come from you, and of your own we have given to you." Christ holds us accountable for the profitable use of our gifts. And what is the profit? It is not to be reckoned in human terms. It is not a profit for ourselves. Rather, the profit is one reckoned according to the standards of the Lord. Spiritual gifts are to be used in the fullest extent for spiritual aims, for the good of the Christian church. Temporal gifts are to return a yield in terms of human souls, in goods that last beyond the grave, as you learn from the parable of the unjust servant in Luke chapter 16. The emphasis in the parable is on the actual yielding of a rich profit, and the gifts are distributed for the one purpose of producing profit. We are judged by the Lord, not by how much we possess, but by how much the possessions produce in love, charity, testimony or witnessing, and the saving of souls. So what is the accounting? This accounting is coming to all of us, possibly unexpected, but all must answer. Our text says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. The unprofitable use of these gifts, which the Lord distributes, is the reason for rejection. In this world, the rejection may work out in the curtailing of the gifts, spiritual or temporal, the steward forfeiting his right to administer what has been entrusted to him. Our text says, "So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away." In the life to come, it means death. And casting the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Redemption has, for its purpose, the fashioning of the redeemed into the profitable servant, as you read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Where the profit is lacking, it is evident that the relationship of faith and grace does not exist, as we learn from the gospel reading for today, where Jesus describes the dividing of the sheep and the goats of Judgment Day. We are saved to serve, to make profitable use of our talents. It is wrong, therefore, to enjoy the grace of God while embezzling the treasure which lays in our hands to administer for him. Secondly, therefore, let us be ready to give an accounting. The unready person is a warning against being unprepared for the judgment of Christ. Let us consider the characteristics of a man not ready for the accounting. He did not see the way for gaining profit. He assumed that he could keep the goods assigned to him by God as such without diminishing or increasing them. It is the very nature of the gifts of God that they must grow, the spiritual gifts in intensity and usefulness. Not using them is paralyzing them. We read in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 8. "But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." The misuse of temporal gifts likewise ends in disaster, as you learn from the parable of the rich man in Luke chapter 12, which ends with these words, "But God said to him, Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose of those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays that treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Let us realize that all We have all our gifts that can be put to use to achieve a profit, whether small or large. This man took a grudging attitude toward God and the demand of God that he should work. Our text says, then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I know you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Even more dangerous, this attitude can creep into the thinking of the Christian. He may imagine that Christianity is all receiving without any work. We read in James chapter 2, verse 17, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. An unused talent cannot be kept for long. Like an unused muscle, it gradually wastes away. In the kingdom of God, an unused talent is confiscated and given to someone else. If we are neglectful or indifferent toward the opportunities that God gives us to serve him in his kingdom, he will surely give those opportunities to someone else. God will see to it that his work will be done and that his kingdom will come. So let us not imagine that because of our effort goes into the skillful handling goods of life, the profit belongs to us. Working is simply our duty, as we learn from Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. The servants ready for the accounting give a glimpse of our own correct attitude. Their characteristic may be summed up by their master in one word, and that word is faithful. They had been given a trust. They kept the trust. The fact that they were profitable resulted from this. Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. They neither lost sight of the nature of the talents nor of the responsibility they owed to the master. How can this faithfulness be preserved? Through the gospel. The gospel not only proclaims and conveys to us forgiveness of sins, but it also works in us the readiness to follow and serve Christ. This readiness is a gift of the Holy Spirit through the Word. We read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love for the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 to 15, therefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as the He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. And in Romans chapter 6, verse 22, we read, but now having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, the end, the everlasting life. The glorious end of this faithfulness is a blissful eternity, with responsibilities and dignities, as our text says. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. We're told in 1 Timothy chapter 6, but you, O man of God, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you're also called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I have fought a good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So in conclusion, to the world's man, self-sufficiency, irresponsibility toward God is part of his contentment and worth. But to the Christian, working for the Lord here is part of sharing his joys hereafter. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.